me to Hebrews 10. Our subject this morning, one sacrifice for sins. I'm delighted to repeat a truth that has been sounded from this pulpit hundreds and hundreds of times. There's one sacrifice for sins. And I offer no apology for being so repetitious. To me, as Paul said in Philippians 3, it's not tiresome. To you, it is most profitable. And to our Father in heaven, it is most pleasing. He takes pleasure in His Son and in those who honor His Son. The Scripture said, he who honors the Son, the Father will honor. I'm never satisfied with the way that I preach the gospel, but I'm fully satisfied with the gospel that I preach. We're never happy with the way we present it, but we are completely happy with the gospel which we present. And I believe that should I and all the elders who preach for you preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, nothing but Christ and Him crucified, that we would be good ministers of our Lord. Paul said that to the Corinthians. He said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So here in Hebrews chapter 10, I'd like to begin with verse 11. Verse 11. And the one sacrifice for sin is set forth in many ways. I realize there are many ways in which our Lord's sacrifice is dealt with in these verses. Inexhaustible. He's called the unspeakable gift. But there are four things I see here that are most important, I believe. Four things. First of all, the contrast between the Old Testament priest, their sacrifices, and Christ and His sacrifice. And then, secondly, is set forth here the character of our priest as opposed to the character of those men. And then, thirdly, I see here the consequences of His sacrifice as opposed to the consequences of their sacrifices. And then, in closing, the covenant which He completed and fulfilled opposed to that covenant. All right, let's see verse 11, the contrast. It says in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. The Old Testament priest and their sacrifices were ordained of God. No question about that. God gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle, and He gave Moses the description and pattern for the priesthood. And all the sacrifices, they're all in Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus. The dimensions of the tabernacle, the description of everything. Everything. See, He said to Moses, that you make it exactly like I tell you. And all of these sacrifices and priesthood, they were ordained of God. And they had divine approval. As long as they were offered as Moses commanded. And not only that, but when they were carried out as God commanded, they brought blessings to Israel. They were blessed when they obeyed God and when they worshiped God and when they offered the sacrifices. And there were many priests, and they were ordained of God. Turn back to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. For every priest, every high priest, Hebrews 5:1, every high priest, and there were many of them, taken from among men, is ordained. Ordained of whom? Of God. For men. In things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with iniquity, infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. And listen, and no man takes this honor upon himself, but he that's called of God, as was Aaron, ordained of God, chosen of God. And these men, when they ministered in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, they were ordained of God, they were approved of God, and when they did what God told them to do and offered the sacrifices as they were told to offer them, they brought blessings to Israel. These were pictures of Christ. Now look at Hebrews 7. Our high priest, Hebrews chapter 7. They were many. He's one. Verse 21 of Hebrews 7 says, for those priests were made without an oath, but this priest with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord sware and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They all died. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchanging priesthood. All right, back to our text, Hebrews 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily. Standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. The point here is that there were many priests and thousands of sacrifices. And these men stood. They never sat down. Their work was never finished. They sacrificed daily. There was a sacrifice for every occasion. And they were the same sacrifices. And why were they offered over and over and over and over again? He tells us here in verse 11, because, underline this, six words, which can never take away sin. That's why they were offered over and over. You see, these sacrifices were pictures, not propitiation. These sacrifices were pictures. Look back at Hebrews 10, verse 1 through 4. If you ever had any doubt about this, let's clear it up now. People talk about dispensations, and there are dispensations, but not of salvation. They talk about God tried to save man in innocence, and that failed, and he tried to save man under conscience, and that failed, and then he tried to save people under the law with the sacrifices, and that failed, and then he tries grace. But that's not true. You see, verse 1 of Hebrews 10 says the law was a shadow of good things to come. A shadow is not the very image of the thing, it's but a shadow. And the good things to come is in Christ. And that's what these sacrifices were, a shadow of things to come. Can never, with those sacrifices which they offered, year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices is a remembrance again made of sin every year. Every time another sacrifice was brought, it said this, this is the way sin is put away by the blood of the Lamb of God. But the blood of the animals, which pictures the Lamb of God, hasn't put it away. The putting away of sin is reserved for him who's coming. Sin's still here. Still here. And every time a sacrifice was offered, it was a remembrance. Sin is still here. It's still here till he comes. For it's not possible, verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. These sacrifices were pictures, not propitiation. These sacrifices were examples, not expiation. These sacrifices were symbols, not sacrifice. Not effectual. These sacrifices were types, not an atonement. All right, verse 12, Hebrews 10. We see the contrast, verse 11. All these priests and their sacrifices and their offerings were pictures. But this man, verse 12. I love the way that Paul uses these words in the book of Hebrews in reference to our Lord. He talks about Moses, and he said, but this man hath more honor than Moses, as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. He talks about the angels, and he said, but this man is more excellent than the angels. And God commands all the angels to worship him, but this man. He talks about these priests who came with the sacrifices of the blood of animals. He said, but this man hath a more excellent sacrifice, better sacrifice than these, but this man. And here our Lord's character is given. Now listen, but this man. Who is this man? Who is this man? Well, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But this man, I touched on this in my class this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. This scripture sounds like the only two men. And in one sense, that's true. In this business of sin and salvation, of death and life, of condemnation and reconciliation, there really are but two men. That's true. The first man, verse 47, 1 Corinthians, let's look at it carefully. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's Adam. God made man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And all men were in him. Nobody else was created. Everybody came from his loins. We're all of the same blood. Adam is the father. God made Eve out of Adam. And from Adam came all men. And Adam's sin, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed on all men. We're all products of Adam, fruit of Adam, descendants of Adam, posterity of Adam, the sons of Adam, imputed guilt in Adam. By one man's sin entered the world and death passed on all men. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. That's that one man. And when he fell and died spiritually, God said, you're going to die physically. And you were taken out of the earth and you'll go back to the earth. And that's that man. And that's our future. We came from him, and like him, we'll die and we'll go back to the dust. But there's another man. And he says he's the Lord from heaven. And God prepared in the womb of a virgin who'd never known a man, a body for this man, this God-man. And this God-man came from heaven and inhabited that body. It came out of the womb of that woman. And he had no attachment to that first Adam. He didn't descend from him. He had no descendancy. Neither earthly father or mother. This man didn't. That body was born of a woman, made of a woman. But that man didn't come from that woman or that man. That man's God. He's without beginning of days or end of days, without mother or father. Without descent or ancestry. And he came down and inhabited that body. A body, I read it to you a while ago. A body hast thou prepared me, he said. And this man is not like Adam. He's the Lord from heaven. Now look at verse 48. And as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. God gave to this man a people. And by his obedience and by his sacrifice, they live. Death in Adam, life in Christ. Sin in Adam, holiness in Christ. Condemnation in Adam, reconciliation in Christ. See, turn to Romans 5, and I'll show you that. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans 5, verse 19. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners by his disobedience. He's our Father. He's our head. He's our root. He's our source. He's our fountain. You don't get good water out of a bad fountain or good fruit off a bad tree. We are what we are because of where we came from, who our Father is. Even so, by the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous. All who were in Adam are like him. All who are in Christ are like him. That's right. So really, when it says, verse 12, this man is talking about the Lord from heaven. And by imputation, by his obedience, we live. By his death, we're justified. Verse 12 again. After he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, do we have a tabernacle? Yes, he's our tabernacle. He's our tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. God said, Moses, make a tabernacle. In that tabernacle, put a mercy seat. And separate that mercy seat from the people and from all the priests by a veil. And I'll dwell over that mercy seat between the cherubims. And I'll meet you there. And only the high priest, once a year with the blood sacrifice atonement, is to come into that holy of holies where my glory is on the mercy seat. And he'll represent you, every one of you, you Israelites. And he'll put the blood on that mercy seat which covers the broken law in the Ark of the Covenant. And I'll meet you there. Do we have such a tabernacle, such a mercy seat, such a priest, such... Christ is that tabernacle. God meets us in Christ. God loves us in Christ. We worship God in Christ. God reveals himself in Christ. God's glory dwells in Christ. He reveals the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have an altar, not down here. In here. It's Christ. Christ is our altar. He's our tabernacle. He's our altar. He's our mercy seat. He's our high priest. He's the sacrifice. It's his blood. He's the lamb slain, and he's the atonement. We have a priest. Hebrews 4. Turn over there a minute. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. Look at this verse. Seeing then we have a great high priest, it's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our profession. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He became a man. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because we have a high priest. Go back to my text. The character of this, but this man, after he offered the character of his sacrifice, one sacrifice for sins, for all the sins of all the elect of all generations. Look at this next word, forever. You look back as far as you will, and there's always been but one lamb, one sacrifice, one offering for sin. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Look back as far as you can possibly imagine before the foundation of the world. Christ stood as our lamb. Look forward as far as you can, as far as possible, into endless millenniums. And there can only be one sacrifice and one lamb. What did I read to you from Revelation a moment ago? Revelation 7. What did we read? You remember? Listen. These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. He's always fed us. He's always sustained us. He's always stood for us. He's always interceded for us. He's always provided for us forever. Forever. All right, let's notice in the next place the consequences of His one sacrifice. You see, back here in verse 11, I read that these priests stood daily ministering, offering the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God Almighty. He sat down. Why did he sit down? His work was finished. He said on the cross, it's finished. He sat down. They never sat down because their work was never finished. But he sat down on the right hand of God, exalted above all exaltation. Paul, writing in Philippians, said, He took upon Himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted Him. And remember, we're in Him. In Adam, death, depravity, condemnation. All who are in Adam. If that's all we got is Adam, that's where we are. But in Christ, redeemed, sanctified, justified, glorified. Our forerunner has entered in within the veil and sat down. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be. Where He is, we are. What He has, we have. That's right. He sat down at the right hand of God and we sat down in Him. In Him. He sat down toward Himself, the consequences, He finished the work. Verse 13, toward His enemies, from henceforth expect until His enemies be made His footstool. Who are His enemies? Satan's His enemy. And He met Satan and conquered him. And He's expecting till he be made His footstool. Sin is His enemy. And sin has been conquered and put away. In Him there is no sin. Death is His enemy. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so He's already conquered His enemies. And the Heavenly Father said, sit at My right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. Now what about the consequences? Toward Himself, He's finished the work. Toward His enemies, they're His footstool, awaiting destruction. Toward His people, verse 14, by one offering He hath perfected. What a word, perfected. It's not a word that we would use describing ourselves. Perfect. A man wouldn't do that. But it's the word God uses to describe us in Christ. We're perfect. That's right. What a blessing. What a blessing. David said over here, Paul quoted David in Romans 4. He said, David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed is he whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In Christ, we're perfect. Holy, unblameable. That's by one offering. One offering. And I know today that there are a lot of so-called sacraments, sacrifices, and masses said, and But I'm telling you, there's one sacrifice. There's one high priest. There's one sacrifice. And it's finished. It's accomplished its purpose toward his people. They are perfected. And look at that next word. They're perfected forever. Sanctified, justified, washed forever. Forever. They'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, for by one offering he hath perfected. You don't perfect yourself. You don't sanctify yourself. He does. And he sanctifies you forever, them that are sanctified. While the Holy Ghost is a witness to us, for after he'd said before, this is the covenant. This is what he wrote back yonder. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. This is what he wrote way back yonder. In Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Spirit of God wrote this many years before Christ came into the world. This is the covenant he came to fulfill. Jeremiah 31, 33. This shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. That's us. That's everybody who's saved, Jew and Gentile. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel. He's not an Israelite outwardly, but one inwardly. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts. I'll write it on their hearts. I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, all believers, from the least of them, the children, to the greatest, to the oldest of them. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. That's what Christ came to do. That's the covenant that he came to fulfill, to enable God to be just and justify all of his people. That's it. This is the covenant. Back to my text, verse 16, that I'll make with them after those days. I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Our Lord Jesus fulfilled every promise. All the promises of God are in Christ. Yes, amen, so be it, fulfilled, accomplished for all who believe. And in the last chapter of Hebrews, Paul wrote about that covenant which our Lord fulfilled. He said in Hebrews 13, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. He died and he rose again by the power of God. That great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The what covenant? Everlasting. Forever. Both ways. One covenant. Make you perfect. Make you perfect. And every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. You see why we preach Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. This is the covenant. You see, when David lay down to die, and oh, how we love the writings of David, and how often God refers to David, man after his own heart, how often God refers to David who out of whom the Messiah came, from whom. This was David's hope, right here, what I'm preaching to you this morning. Long before Christ came, before he died, before he fulfilled all these Old Testament pictures, patterns, priesthood, sacrifice. David lay down to die, and he said, and the scripture said these are his last words. Although it be not so with my house, God made with me an everlasting covenant. That's what Paul is talking about right here in Hebrews 13. That everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things from beginning and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. The two men, the two covenants. That old man, that old nature, that old covenant. Dead and gone. That second man, the Lord from heaven. That everlasting covenant. And his righteousness and his blood. He'll make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory. One sacrifice for sin. I believe that. I believe that. Do you believe that? Believe that gospel. 223. Let's sing about it. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in thy behalf appears. Number 44. And can it be? Number 44. We'll stand while we sing.